And tonight we're going to talk about faith and doubt, and basically, I guess, compare them and see how that they maybe fight against each other, battle against each other, and how that's a normal thing. Some of us, we might think, well, man, I wish I could have faith like Brother So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. They seem like they never worry. They seem like they got it all together, and they just trust God and things like that. But we're going to see when we decide to have faith, those little doubts are still right there. And so that's normal. And again, we obviously ought to have faith in God, and the Bible tells us to have faith in God. And we ought to live by faith and accept the Word of God by faith, and all the things that faith has in store for us, we ought to take advantage of it. But it's normal. You're not weird if you think, well, I let doubt creep in sometime, and that's a normal thing. And we see in Mark 9:24 an example of this in the Bible. In verse 24 it says this, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears." I mean, so you can tell he was serious, and his emotions were involved and his heart was involved. And it says here, "And straightway," in other words, immediately, as fast as he could, he responded. "And the father of the child cried out with tears and said with tears, Lord, I believe." And so here he is, being that strong man of faith, the dad of faith, the man of the household, having strong faith. "Lord, help my Lord, I believe." But then immediately he says, "Help my unbelief." And so it's a normal thing. Of course we have to have faith to be saved. It's not of works. We're saved by faith, putting our faith in what the Word of God says and what God Jesus did on the cross, things like that. But again, all of us. So I've heard people say, I got saved when I was this many years old and I've never doubted. That's great. And that's wonderful. But I've heard a way more people saying, I struggled with it. I doubted it. And we're going to see that we can do things to, I guess, bolster our faith and encourage ourselves in the Lord like David did, and so forth, and take advantage of the faith that we have. And we saw last week how to increase faith, and we'll see some of those verses again tonight. You're not, psycho if you have a little bit of doubt there too. And here's a man, he wanted his son healed, and of course if you read in the context of this chapter, this little boy, I won't take time to read it, but he the Bible says he had a dumb spirit and so forth, so he was a little bit retarded and so forth, wasn't developed perfectly. And then it goes on to say that he foamed at the mouth, and it said that he gnawed his tongue and gnashed his teeth. And it said he wallowed on the ground. And somebody asked in this context of this verse, how long has it been like this? And he said, since he was born. And so, of course, the dad loved this child. And again, I've seen handicapped children and things like that. And, of course, they deserve the same amount of love as anybody else and so forth. This dad heard that Jesus was going around healing people. He had heard that he had the power to do this. And, of course, he wanted to get his son to him. And, of course, I know the ailments that my boys have had growing up, things like that, I wanted to get them to the hospital. I wanted to get them to the best doctors possible, get them the best treatment possible. Why? Because I love them. And so same thing here. This dad, he comes to Jesus, and he had heard about all the things that Jesus had done, healing the lame and healing the blind and healing the deaf and so forth. And he's like, I wish that I could get my son over to him. And so when he got there, the situation was explained to the Lord and things like that. And Jesus said something like this. I'm paraphrasing here. If you believe, your son can be healed. And so immediately, he's probably ecstatic. I've heard about this, and this is actually fixing to happen. I'm so excited. And so he said, Lord, I believe. I believe you can do it. But, I know there's a little bit of doubt there, so please help that. Help my unbelief. And then, of course, a couple chapters later in Mark 11, it says, "And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have faith in God." And, of course, we can have faith in God, and we have we've heard in some of our prayer request times and adult men's Sunday school class, I'm sure the ladies do it as well when they're not gossiping about us men. But anyway, I'm sure they have prayer requests too. Just kidding, ladies. Don't throw anything. But we've had prayers answered. And we've had, since we moved here a year or so ago, and there's people that's had cancer and now they don't. We've had people that have had ailments, but God has healed them of that. So God can still do it. and He can still heal. He still has the power. And we ought to have faith that He can do that. And so when we're praying for something like that, God, I would like for You to heal this person, or I would like for You to have that. Of course, the Bible says we ought to pray according to His will and in Jesus' name, of course, and things like that. But we can have faith in Him to do it. And so this man wanted his son healed, and he says, I believe that You can do it, God, but there's a little bit of me that wonders. And so I'll read a couple more verses as we set this up. It says here in Romans 12:3, For I say through the grace given unto me that every man is that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God has dealt to every man that measure of faith. And I mentioned this verse this morning about God has given everybody a measure of faith. And so as our faith gets stronger, this verse is encouraging us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I've got strong faith, and I can kind of live this Christian life without God's help, things like that. We ought not get to that point, but we ought to have strong faith in God. And so our spirit will have faith, and it will want to believe. But that flesh, that old nature, that human mind will have that doubt. It'll creep in there. And so we have to obviously encourage ourselves in the Lord and do what the Bible says. And these are verses I read last week, Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we read the Bible, we hear the Bible, we get taught the Bible, all that will strengthen our faith. And so this man that brought his son to the Lord to get him healed, and of course we know the end of the story, he did. He made him in his right mind, he gave him his strength and things like that, and so the prayer was answered. But the reason that guy had a little bit to say, I do believe, and he'd heard the words of God. He'd heard that other people had gotten healed. And so that's why as we're growing, we hear, I heard about this church, or I heard about the services they have there. I heard that God is blessing. That's why they come. So Hebrews 11:1-6 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So that's why we have to believe in God even though we've never seen Him. And we believe in Jesus even though we weren't there when He was born of a virgin. We weren't there when He was baptized, and we weren't there when He died on the cross and rose again. We weren't there, but we have faith in it because that's what the Bible has said. So, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we ought to have that. A desire is to meet God and to have faith in God and to believe in Him. So Matthew 8:23-27 is another story. This first one we saw a man with a handicapped child. He wanted God to heal him, and he said, "I believe that You can do it. And if there's any little bit of me that's not believing and not having faith in You, please help that, because I don't want it to be my fault that he doesn't get healed." So this story here, we see a little bit of doubt creeping in. In Matthew 8:23-27, it says that Jesus had got aboard a ship, and he'd went down to the bottom of the boat and went to sleep. And of course, the Bible says that a storm arose, and the disciples were there, and they were, they were afraid. And of course, some of them were fishermen. They knew how the water could be out there and so forth, and they knew the damage that could be caused to the boat and so forth. And so it said that they were afraid. And so they went and woke Jesus up. And so he woke up, and it says he rebuked the wind, and then he asked them that question. Why are you fearful? Y'all have been out here before. Plus, you've been with me. And you know God's going to take care of me. And you know that He's not going to let anything happen to me. And then he says, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And so he encouraged them, rebuked them a little bit, and encouraged them to bolster up their faith. Now, I got a couple examples here of things that we have faith in, but in the back of our mind, there's a little bit of doubt. And I'll read this, and this doesn't happen much anymore because of technology. But if we were going to write a letter, and the kids were like, what does that mean? Okay, I know you send emails and you send texts and things like that, but back in the day, there wasn't texting and emailing and things like that, and so we actually had to write or type or let somebody else do it for us, a letter. So if I was to write a letter, sign it that it's coming from me, put it in the envelope, seal it up, put a stamp on it, take it and put it in my mailbox and lift the flag, or take it down to the post office and drop it in their mailbox, my faith is saying, okay, that piece of paper, that letter, that note, that envelope is going to make it to the destination that is signed on that envelope. But I've heard stories. I've seen, you know, movies, you know, that somebody sent a letter and it didn't make it to the person and they found it years later and because there's a little bit of doubt that that post office or that postal man or postal lady might mess up and lose it and things like that. They get in a hurry and they misplace it, or, you know, it falls out of the box and goes under a shelf. You know, there's a little bit of doubt there. But mostly I think, yeah, that's going to make it and everything's going to be all right. Here's another one. You go to work, you earn money. And again, this is kind of outdated in our day and time too. You fill out a deposit slip. Again, somebody's like, what's a deposit slip? I just mobile bank, click, it's gone. All right, I get it. All right, but back in the day, just humor me, okay? You get a check, you make a deposit slip, you drive to the bank and you give it to the teller, you put it in the little vacuum suction pipe, and you know, that used to be the coolest thing, but now you just take a picture and you don't get to see that anymore. But anyway, you have faith that I made that money, I earned that money, it's my money, I put it in that bank, and I have faith that when I need to write a check or I need to use my debit card, it's in there. But in the back of our mind, maybe we have somebody might rob that bank, or there may be a run on that bank and all the money gets taken out of, or there may be a crook in that bank and they embezzle my money and things like that. So you do it, but there's a little bit of thought back there. And so I'm just going to get me some coffee cans and dig some holes in the backyard and put it under my mattress and I'm going to keep it myself. Why? Because of that doubt. Here's another one. Flying. Flying. And there's probably some people sitting in here that's never done it. And you're like, I'm safe right here. The Bible says, lo, I am with you always. Okay, and so I'm going to claim that verse. I'm not getting in an airplane. But some people, they buy a ticket. All right, they put in their destination and things like that. They get on, do their pleasantries with the pilot and the stewardess and things like that. And they sit down, they buckle in, and they watch all this stuff. And so they like, I have faith in this plane and that pilot that I'm going to be in wherever that you were going to go. But you hit a turbulent. Or you hear a funny noise, or here lately the door gets yanked off, and you wonder, are we really going to make it? Okay, and so you know you have, oh yeah, we're going to make it, we're good, but then there's that little doubt. So it's normal. So I said all that to say this, and we're going to look at an outline here on about doubt and faith. They're both for real, and we have to deal with both of them. So a little doubt. In the postal system, a little doubt in the banking system, and a little doubt in flying is normal. So same thing here, a little doubt in what the Bible says. Now we ought not, because that's God's word and He can't lie. And so, but you know, we're still human. We still think, I don't know. And so we have that doubt and that faith that we're going to battle. And we got 3 points tonight. We're going to look at, first of all, we're going to see disturbed faith. Disturbed faith. And so we're going to look at that here. So John the Baptist, at this point in his life, he had been, you know, he was a forerunner. He was born, of course, Mary and Elizabeth were talking, and they did a little jig there in the wombs and things like that. And so he came out, and his job was to be the forerunner, point people, say, hey, the Messiah's coming. He is here in the form of Jesus Christ. And he, you know, of course, he got to say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But in that time where he was telling everybody the Messiah is here, he has come, some things took place in his life. And he's like, why would this happen? I mean, I'm talking about God's Son. I'm talking about, you know, your sins can be forgiven. How awesome is that? And then lo and behold, he ends up in jail. And so his faith was strong out there when he was telling, hey, Jesus is coming to take your sins away. The Messiah is here. This is great. This is awesome. And then something bad happens and disturbs that faith. And so now he's been telling people that he's here. He's going to take care of our sins and it's wonderful. But now I'm in jail. Why would this happen? You know, all I'm doing is trying to be a good Christian. But stuff will pop up in our life and disturb our faith. And so this is found in Matthew 11, 3 through 6. And here's a question the guy that's been saying, the Messiah's here. What the Bible says, that He was coming, He's here. And of course, he had those same questions. I thought that was the carpenter's son. I thought, no. He's God. He's God in the flesh. He was born. Mary was a virgin, and his faith was strong. And he just told everybody what they needed to hear and pointed towards him. And then all of a sudden, he's in jail. In verse 3, it says this, "Art thou he that should come, or do we need to look for another?" I mean, here is John the Baptist. All right? He's John the Baptist with a big B. He had, Baptist socks, Baptist underwear, Baptist, everything. I mean, he was big B Baptist. And here he is asking, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that I've been telling everybody's here? Or do we need to look for another?" So sometimes we see people that have great, strong faith, and then something disturbs that, and that doubt pops in. And we might ask questions. And verse 4 says this, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again." So this is what we need to do. When our faith is disturbed, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what do we need to do? I'm living by faith, and something, wham, hits me in the face, and my faith is disturbed now, so what do I need to do? Go back again. And so what helped John to, because he was saying the Messiah is here, he's in prison asking, "Art thou the one, or do we need to look for another?" Till one day when he baptized him and saw the dove come down, and I mean, his faith was strong that day. "Behold, the Lamb of God." And so, again, so we see here sometimes our faith can get disturbed. I know God's going to supply it, and I know God's going to do it. And then something disturbs our life and our setting, and we're like, "God, are you there?" And so John the Baptist was at this point, and he tells the other disciples, "Go back and tell John again." And then it says, "Those things which ye do hear and see." Verse 5, "The blind receive their sight." John's in jail. Hey, John, you might be in prison, but Jesus is still out here healing blind people. Okay. His disturbed faith gets a little bit of strength. And these blind people have received their sight. Hey, John, there's lame people that are coming lame and Jesus healing them, and they're leaving, clicking their heels. His faith gets a little stronger. Tell him again, "Hey, John," in verse 5, "there's lepers where their fingers are falling off and other appendages are falling off. But they're coming and Jesus is healing them, and they're being cleansed, and they're there's dead people being raised. There's poor people that have the gospel preached." And so now he's in jail and he's heard this again. He's heard the Word of God, and he's like, "Hey, whatever. Jesus is the Messiah. This is awesome. I may be in prison right now and my faith may have been disturbed, but not anymore. I'm just going to ride this thing out." And so that's why we see people that they go through something that maybe would disturb their faith, but they hear it again, or the Lord reveals something to them and they got strong faith now. Because verse 6 says this, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And he says, so John, you may have gotten a little bit disturbed in your faith when you got put in jail, but you heard the Word of God again. And so we saw, first of all, disturbed faith. So we're going to look at four points under disturbed faith. These are things, and we'll go through these quickly, these are things that might disturb your faith. Because the Bible says, have faith in God, trust in God to supply your need, to direct your path, to do all those things, to save your soul, to keep you saved. We're supposed to have faith in God, but sometimes it gets disturbed a little bit. And this is what disturbs our faith. Conditions. All of a sudden, if all the conditions are great, everything's going along smooth, everything's being a bed of roses, everything is happening just like we would have chosen it to happen, and all of a sudden the conditions change. That's what disturbs our faith. Conditions of life oftentimes bring a disturbance to our faith. If everything's going good, everybody likes us, we're making plenty of money, and nothing's broken down, everything's going good, and man, I have faith in God, and God is awesome, He gave us a great day today, but you go out and you look and there's a big spot under your car. Oh, goodness. Yeah. I thought God was awesome. Yeah, but my engine's leaking oil, there's a big old hole in the side of the block. Conditions sometimes disturb our faith, and so forth. So we see Satan is going to see to it. We talked about that this morning, that if you try to do right, you try to live that spiritual Christian life, Satan's going to see to it. So same thing here. When we have strong faith in God, Satan is going to do his best to cause it to be disturbed by some type of condition. Here's another one. Our faith can be disturbed by delay. You know, I'm good as long as everything is going the way I want it to, like right now. I want it like yesterday. But the Bible says that we're supposed to be patient. The Bible's supposed to say we're supposed to, you know, trust in God and His timing. But it's kind of like this. You know, waiting is always hard. You know, you talk to an 18, 19-year-old young man or young lady, and I want to get married now. Well, you need to wait. That's hard. I was there. All right? As soon as I saw her, as soon as we met, let's get married tomorrow. I was fine. This is God's will. Let's do it now. Oh, no, we got to be engaged for like a year. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But you know, delay sometimes disturbs our faith. Here's something: waiting on our prayers to be answered. God, I have faith in you, and I want this, and I want it now. Can you imagine? I guess I do. I don't know of a loved one that I have in my family that's lost, but I do. I have some cousins that are Mormons. And so, can you imagine asking for a loved one to be saved? And I want them saved right now. God, I have faith that you're going to do it. And so what I always try to do is if I have a prayer like that, you know, if I have someone that's unsaved in my mind, in my family, anytime that I lead someone to Christ, I'll say, Lord, I'm trying my best to do your will. I led this loved one to the Lord. They have a cousin or they have an uncle. Remember mine and remind him of that. But when we're praying, sometimes that delay, when it doesn't happen right away, that disturbs our faith. Waiting on the conditions to improve. How about this? You have a prodigal. Lord, I want them restored. I want them to come home. I want them to come to themselves. But I want it to happen right now. That disturbs my faith. Have faith in God. So have faith in God and He can do it. Here's another one. Not only do conditions disturb our faith and delays disturb our faith, the third one here is failure disturbs our faith. And we're going to fail. And what happens is when we do fail, it disturbs our faith. I was doing so good. That besetting sin, I had put it aside and all of a sudden it popped its head back up. I fail. So what we have to do is put our faith in the Word of God. Again, like John the Baptist. He's saying, do we need to seek another Messiah? Are you the one? Go tell him again. All right. So I have to go back to the Word of God and say, hey, the Bible says a just man, somebody that's trying their best, they fall seven times, but they get back up again. So I have to put my faith in the Word of God because I'm going to fail. So failure disturbs our faith sometimes. We can have the best intentions, and we're going to fail. Now, we ought not quit and give up. Still continue to have those intentions. But failure sometimes is going to disturb our faith. We have goals and dreams. I want to do this, and I want to accomplish this, and I want to have this done by this time. And failure to reach it, God, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. Hey, there's all kinds of examples of this in the Bible where, you know, Paul wanted that thorn in the flesh removed. God, I believe you can do it. And I want you to do it. And God says, I'm not going to do it. But I'll give you the grace to go through it. Ugh. So that was a fail. He didn't get rid of it like he wanted. So we see that we have seen them come to naught. Failures. Those goals, those dreams. Relationships have failed. Maybe jobs have failed. Plans have failed. Health has failed. Finances have failed. So failure sometimes disturbs our faith. Last one under disturbed faith is this. Criticism. The Bible says when you would do good, evil presence is with you. So you'll have in your mind, I got faith in God that I'm going to please Him every day of my life and I'm going to make Him happy and I'm going to live in a way that influences people and I'm a light and I'm the salt and I'm doing my part. And you'll just be going through life and you have strong faith and somebody will criticize you for it. And they'll say something like, well, you think you're better than everybody else. No, I don't. I just have faith in God. I'm trying to please Him. And so that'll disturb your faith. God, here I am trying to do my best. And now everybody's criticizing me. I'm trying to please you. I want everybody to be happy about it, but they're not going to be. So sometimes that criticism will disturb our faith. So we see, first of all, we see disturbed faith. Secondly, and this, again, is kind of an oxymoron. It goes against each other. This is doubting faith. Okay, we have doubting faith. Thomas had doubting faith. You know, we saw it this morning in Sunday school. We don't know the way to heaven. And Jesus is like, Thomas, I've been right here the whole time. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but me. And then, of course, after he was resurrected, he appeared into the room. And there's old doubting Thomas again. I'm not going to believe it until I see his hands and see the nail scars and see his side where the spear pierced him. Then I'll believe. So we do have, there's doubting faith. So not only do we have disturbed faith, we have doubting faith. Faith may be disturbed, but it still can be a strong faith. Doubting faith is unusual symptoms of something underneath the surface. Okay, usually, if there's a doubting faith, there's some type of termite that we saw this morning, something that's below the surface, causing us to have that doubting faith. Stuff is sneaking in or seeping in. And we'll look at a few things that can do this to cause doubting faith. First of all, sin brings doubt. So obviously, John the Baptist was in prison, not for sinning, but for preaching the gospel. He got put in there, wrongly imprisoned. But the sin was he started doubting. You know, are you the one we're supposed to be trusting in? I mean, that doubt was a sin. That doubt started seeping in there because of those distractions and so forth, and being disturbed. So sin brings in doubt. Sin can break that chain of faith. You may have seen the game show, You Are the Weakest Link, and so forth. But that's where the chain's going to break. If you're pulling something, and being a redneck like I am, I have pulled lots of things with chains. All right, some because I wanted to, some because I didn't want to. But anyway, that chain will break at the weakest link. So again, we can have strong faith, but some besetting sin will sneak in, and that's where the chain of faith will break. The sin can weaken our faith. Sin can blind our faith. The Bible talks about that a lot. Satan has blinded their minds. Satan is going to cause them to pretty much be delirious and believe untruths. He can do that. That's where sin will cause our eyes to be blind. Sin can destroy our ability to hold on to faith. It'll slip out of our hands. So the biggest doubt it will bring, when we have sin, the biggest doubt that we might battle is, and I've heard people say this, I don't know that I'm saved. Why? Because if they let that besetting sin come in, and it maybe captivates their life, they might have statements like this or thoughts like this. If I was saved, I probably wouldn't battle this. And that's what Satan loves. Because if he can get you to have doubting faith, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be wondering, I don't want to die and go to hell. Did I really mean it? Things like that. Because that besetting sin. So sin breaks or brings doubt. Not only does sin bring doubt, but idleness will bring doubt. Idleness will bring doubt. Sin brings doubt. Idleness will bring doubt. So when we fail to read our Bible, it can cause doubt. When we fail to pray, it can bring doubt. When we fail to attend church like we should, it can bring doubt. When we fail to be active in outreach or to witness, it can bring doubt. So that idleness can bring doubt. The next one, disobedience can bring doubt. Disobedience can bring doubt. So an inactive or idleness will bring doubt. We've got to be moving. Got to be going forward. I press toward the mark, Paul said. So go forward. Don't be idle. Don't just say, well, I'm just going to chillax for a little while, then I'll get started again. No. That'll bring doubt. I don't know that I can do it now. I don't know that I can get started again. That idleness, inactiveness will bring doubt. Disobedience brings doubt. I have an example, I guess something that I read. Lee Robertson was a great preacher, pastor at Highland Park Baptist Church in Tennessee for years and years and years. And he was a very good musician. He was, professionally trained musician. And of course, I remember one time he said he was singing at a wedding, and the bride was having some issues with gown, and they told him to go to the pulpit and sing a song. And I guess a time filler while they were waiting on the bride to get ready. And so he said he went out there, and over where they were standing was this big arch of flowers. And he started singing, and he realized he was singing, "I Come to the Garden Alone." And so he said, oops, wrong choice. But anyway, he was very, very musically talented and so forth, but God called him to preach, and he surrendered, and of course God used him in a great and mighty way. But he said that when he was a young preacher boy, I mean, just in Bible college, just getting started, he said W.A. Lucky, which was an older man, came to him and said, "Son, if God has called you to preach, never turn your back on Him. And never turn your back on what He's called you to do. Because when I was a young man, God called me to preach, and I never did it. And I spent my entire life unhappy." Why? Because disobedience brings doubt. Did I find God's will? Did I mess up? Disobedience just brings doubt. Do what you're told and do what the Bible says, and you will have stronger faith. So sin brings doubt, idleness brings doubt, disobedience brings doubt, and listening to false teachers will bring doubt. This is one of the devil's ploys. You got to be careful, especially in our day and time. Just like we talked about a while ago, writing letters, now we have text, emails, and things like that, a lot faster. We have mobile banking, we have just a touch of the finger. Same thing with this. Used to, it was harder for the devil to bring a lie to your ears because you almost had to be where it was being taught. But now it's out there at the touch of the finger. Everybody and their brother has some type of podcast. Everybody and their brother has some type of media platform. And listen, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that's one of the avenues that the devil will use to bring doubt into your life, sneaking in some type of falsehood. And, I mean, it's in the Bible. Galatians 2:4 says this, "And that because of false brethren," I mean, they say they're saved. Why couldn't I listen to him? They say they're just like us. They say they're born again too. They're Christians. But it says here, "And that because of the false brethren, unawares, brought in, whom came in to in private to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage." And again, praise the Lord for pastors that watch out for it. Praise the Lord for, Holy Spirit-filled church members that watch out for it. And I don't know that this has ever happened here, but I have seen it happen in churches where they'll come in and be buddy-buddy and talk it up and things like that, and then they'll start passing out, "Hey, read this when you get a chance. Hey, read this. Don't tell anybody, but read it." Okay, but now, they could just put it on a podcast. "Oh, let's listen to this." And things like that. You got to be careful. Jude 1:4 says this, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before the old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And so, again, that's why you'll have some of these false religions out there. One of them, not too long ago, said, "Free King James Bible." And so all of us that believe in the King James Bible, hey, that's a good thing. Free King James Bible. But with it, we're going to also send you this. The Book of Mormon. Okay? That's exactly what they were trying to do. Sneak in garbage, falsehoods. And so, of course, when we're listening to falsehoods, that's going to bring doubt. Mom and Dad always said, the preacher always said, my Sunday school teacher taught me, but this guy on this podcast said, or this TV show said, or my friend said, you got to be careful. Because it's going to bring doubt. And that's, again, the author of confusion. We know that's Satan. And so when they look, all these different religions, which one's right? Author of confusion. All these different Bibles, which one's right? Author of confusion. Watch out for those sneaking in unawares. Yeah, we're just like you. We believe just like you. I don't want to be a skeptic, but you got to be, the Bible says be aware that they can sneak in. So we see, first of all, we had distracted faith or disturbed faith. by those conditions and any failures we might have. Secondly, we see here the doubting faith, and then this is the one we need to have. Dynamic faith. All right, dynamic faith. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, do backflips across the platform. That's dynamic. Trust me, I'm not going to do a backflip, okay? That doesn't mean that you have to be loud and boisterous. Nothing wrong with being loud and boisterous in the right setting, okay? But we can have dynamic faith. In other words, just strong faith, faith in Christ. And so that's what we're going to look at. Number three, I don't want disturbed faith. I do not want doubting faith. I want a dynamic faith. So in doing that, we have to guard our heart. We have to guard our mind. We have to guard our spirit. We have to be careful what we listen to, what we read, and what we hear and watch, things like that. Why? Because that will cause us to have a doubting faith. But we want to have this dynamic faith. I believe we can have a dynamic faith that is strong and steadfast. In other words, it'll be strong enough to believe every word of that book, and it will be steadfast long enough to believe that book till I die. That's what kind of faith, dynamic faith, is. I'm not going to change from this, and I'm going to stay just like I am, hopefully stronger, hopefully closer to God, hopefully doing more. That's what a dynamic faith will do. It will help us to be strong and to be steadfast. So we'll look at 3 points underneath this. Number one, a dynamic faith, there must be a direction. There must be a direction. So again, it's not in the loudness. It's not in things that we can do. Like there are some people out there that they say that they can heal people. They say they can see visions and things like that. And so you lowly people, you can't have it because I have a dynamic faith. That's garbage. Okay, the Bible says it's not of any private interpretation. All right, he's not going to give anybody in this world a stronger belief than anybody else. He's no respecter of persons. So these guys that maybe TV evangelists that say they have that, you know, my challenge is this. If you say you have the power of healing, you know, you can give somebody a wet willy and they can hear, or you can smack somebody up against the forehead and they'll be healed. Let's go down to the children's hospital and you just spend your day there. All right? If you got it, let's see it, bud. All right? That's not what it's talking about. The dynamic faith is not of a special interpretation. It's not of a special power. Okay? It's anybody can have it. But it's more about this, the direction. All right, so my faith is not in the mirror, okay? My faith is not even in the congregation. Where's my faith? The direction. My faith is in God, okay? And so a lot of preachers, you know, they might can preach harder and they might can preach better when there's a huge crowd. They're trusting in that. I mean, some people that, you know, if everybody's maybe playing the, you know, the organ or the piano, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, they're trying to work it up. I'm not trusting in some instrument to give me some special, you know, gyrations. Okay, my direction, my faith is in God. You speak through me. You're the one that told me to say this. You speak through me. And again, it's not me that's doing anything. If it's convicting you or encouraging you or doing like that, it's all God, because the direction of my faith is in Him. So it's not, okay, I ought not look to the world. I ought not look to myself. I ought not even look to others. I got to have you say an amen, or I just can't preach. No, you can sit there quiet all day long if you want to. I'm going to tell you what God says, and if He wants me to get loud, I'll get loud. If He wants me to cry, I'll cry. My direction, my faith is in Him, and nothing else. So it says here, you're looking, also not only where you're looking, but where you're heading. Okay? Your faith is going to be disturbed, and it's going to be a doubting faith if you're heading in the wrong direction. In other words, away from God, away from church. I don't need church. I can worship in the woods. You're probably not heading in the right direction. Probably going to get some ticks and some chiggers. All right, and you know, God bless you if you're going to put your faith in the woods. But anyway, it's the way you're looking, but it's also the way you're heading. And it's kind of like this. If the person, let's say this person has some bad habits that they're doing, and they're involved in some things that maybe they should probably separate from, but they're heading towards God. Okay? They're baby Christians. They're growing. I want to have fellowship with that person because they're heading in the right direction. But let's say somebody has been over here and they've been an independent Baptist preacher like me, and they live right, things like that, but they're heading in the wrong direction. Their Bible's changed. Their stand is changed. Right? Which, you know, what they believe in is changed. And they're going this way. Now, I'm going to pray for that person, but I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to let them affect me. So our faith, our dynamic faith, it has a direction. Where are you looking? Looking unto the hills, whence cometh my help. Also, which direction are you heading? Are you getting closer to God? Closer to that book? Closer to your church? Which direction are you heading? And then also, here's another direction. Which direction are you pointing to? I guess today, Brother Raji and Miss Lou was doing laps around the parking lot. All right. And somebody pulled in and they wanted directions. And of course, they were going, I guess, towards Lawrenceburg and right up his alley. This is what you need to do. He gave them directions. He pointed them, and they haven't come back yet, so it must have worked. But anyway, so which direction are you pointing people to? A lot of times, well, I'm just not going to point anybody. Yeah, you are. I just don't want to have a testimony. You have one. I'm just not going to be an example. Well, you are. A good one or a bad one. How? Which way are you pointing? My faith, I got to have something what he's got. You know, he believes what he's saying. He trusts the Lord. I mean, there's got to be something to it. Your life is pointing people. And then, obviously, your words point people. Hey, come to church. Yesterday, Brother Dave and I knocked on a bunch of doors, and in the rain even. All right? And we were encouraging people to come. We were pointing them to God and to our church, things like that. So your faith will have a direction. Don't look at the world. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at others. Look to God. Here's Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So if you want a dynamic faith, not a doubting faith, not a disturbed faith, you got to look unto Jesus. So John the Baptist may not even have realized he was in jail if he had just been looking at Jesus. I know this didn't slip up on you. You've allowed this to happen. I'm just going to trust in you. But he got to looking down this way. I'm in jail. Do you see the food they brought us? That's nasty. I wouldn't feed that to my pet. Are you the one we're supposed to be looking to, or is there somebody else? Which way did he start looking? If we look at this world, whew, but the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. What's the use? Keep on keeping on until you see him. Have faith. Dynamic faith is what direction are you looking, what direction are you heading, and what direction are you pointing people to? Number two, not only a dynamic faith will have a direction, but it'll also come with an assurance. An assurance. You know, again, if somebody tells you, a girlfriend, boyfriend, I love you, that gives you the heebie-jeebies. You start getting all of it. But then what they do doesn't back up that statement. That ought to be a red flag. Hey, they're saying one thing, but they're doing another. And there's not an assurance of that. But when my wife told me that I love you, and then she slips up beside me and grabs a hold of my arm. Woo-hoo. All right, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. All right, so now she's saying I love you, and I feel like she really means it. Okay, and then we'll just leave it at that. When she grabbed a hold of my arm, we'll just stop right there. All right, but after we were married, there were other things that came after that, and it proved that she actually loved me, and she puts up with me, and that gives me an assurance that she loves me. Same thing. Jesus says, I love you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be there to comfort you. I'll walk along beside you. I'll help you in any situation. That gives us that assurance. So a dynamic faith was, hey, I don't know why this is happening, but I trust God. I don't know how long this is going to last, but I trust God. That dynamic faith gives us assurance that He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I quoted this a while ago when we were talking about the airplane. Lo, I am with you always. Here's one. I will keep you in my hand, and nobody will be able to pluck you out. All right? That faith gives me assurance. Nobody's going to be able to mess with me unless God allows it. Job, none of that would have happened to Job unless God had allowed it. So, I will never leave you nor forsake me. Gives me that assurance. Dynamic faith. Lo, I'm with you always. Dynamic faith. I will keep you in my right hand. Nobody will pluck you out. I will keep hit you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So we can put our faith in that Word of God, and it'll give us that assurance. So we see David had this assumption when you read in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, I've heard lots of different opinions on that. In other words, I'm a lowly little Christian, and I'm just not going to want anything. I don't know. How about this? The Lord is my shepherd, and He's going to provide everything I need, so I won't have any wants. I like that one a little better. All right, that assurance. You know, I'm not this poor old pitiful me. I'm a child of God. He's going to supply my need. He's going to direct my path. Have those assurance. That's what a dynamic faith is. The Lord's my shepherd, and I don't want anything. That if you want to have that one, but I think God's going to just supply all my need, and I won't have any wants. It'll be right there. I have that assurance. So a dynamic faith is, it must have a direction. It will have some assurance. And lastly, there must be a purpose. A purpose. A lot of people, maybe they want a strong faith, just like they want to be good at a certain sport, so everybody would watch them. And I don't know that that's the reason we ought to want to have a strong faith. You know, just so people think I'm super Christian. And so people think I got it all together. That might not be the purpose of wanting a dynamic faith. He might not get it if that's, you know, the selfish reason behind it. But we ought to have the purpose of wanting a dynamic faith is that He be lifted up, that He may be exalted. I want the strong faith, not for me, but for Him. So a dynamic faith will have a purpose. And then God's work may be done. Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, we can do all things. And so we ought to want that dynamic faith, so God will be exalted, so things will get done for His honor and glory, and that He might bless us. So God is looking for a man, or not looking for a man with abilities. He's looking for a man with a dynamic faith. Now, nothing wrong with having abilities and using them for God. We were blessed by Brother Derek singing and playing this morning. He's got that ability. But obviously, it's given to God for His honor and glory. And He got the glory for it. And so that's what God's looking for, somebody with abilities, but with a faith. A man or a woman that refuses to doubt. A man or a woman who believes that God is sufficient. A man or a woman that believes not only can God, but God will. That's dynamic faith. I not only believe that God can do whatever He wants, I believe He's going to do whatever He wants. So that's a dynamic faith. So, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So as I'm preaching about dynamic faith, I'm like, oh, yeah. But then as soon as you stop, I don't know, can I live that? Can I do all those suggestions that the Bible says? So I believe God, but help my unbelief because I know it's going to sneak in. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, I just ask You to help us all, Lord, to desire to have a dynamic faith, not a doubting faith. Obviously, the devil's going to do his part to help us to have a disturbed faith. But God, we can be right there beside You. We can be empowered by You. But it's all in which direction we're looking, which direction we're pointing. Lord, I just ask You to give us that assurance so we can have that dynamic faith. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation. If you'd like to come pray and ask God to give you stronger faith. Altar's open.